Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Now, let's look at the situation. Sweet home Alabama. It's been home for Republicans quite comfortably for a while now.
25 years.
25 years. And yet, Democrat Doug Jones has come away with a historical win by a razor-thin margin, winning the Senate, but Roy Moore is refusing to concede. What's the latest? What's happening?
Well, what's happening there is the law says if there's a half a point difference, a recall is required. It's not something that Roy Moore asked for. It is required. That recall will certify the vote in every county. And the U.S. does this by counties, something like shires here. Those recounts and ballots, for the most part, those ballots are paper ballots. The other thing, under the U.S. Civil Rights Act, those ballots have to be supervised by federal marshals. So the old boys can't go in and change the ballot. The biggest thing in the law says you have to recount the write-ins to make sure they didn't intend to vote for somebody other than the name on the paper. I think there's about a 20 or 25,000 vote lead. It's going to be hard for that to evaporate.
Yeah, my understanding with the recount is within 0.5%, but this is actually at least 1.5% that Doug Jones had going for him.
Yeah. So he's to find for more to get 30,000 votes or so just seems impossible. But really, I really thought Florida was going to go the right way, and that ended up in the Supreme Court. The Republicans don't really want this recount. They don't want Moore in the news any longer than they have to. Jones looks so clean and clear and right that it's going to be very hard for the Republicans to fight against him. It sounds like they're fighting against the good guy when they themselves didn't want to fund Moore's campaign. The president of the Senate came out against him and said, moreover, if he tries to come to the Senate, we may not seat him. Now, could you imagine the awfulness of that? The Republicans don't need this millstone. And Donald Trump was very concessional in this. He does not want to fight here because he still hasn't got his tax bill through.
Talking about Roy Moore as something of a millstone here, as an individual, he's an alleged pederast who was fighting multiple sexual assault allegations, history of saying some pretty bizarre and pretty offensive things. How big are the implications for Trump and the Republicans? Really, should we be taking much larger implications from this loss in Alabama for the country at large?
For the Republicans, yes. The Republicans now are in a very difficult predicament. Remember, there are Republicans in Maine. The senator in Maine is a Republican. And she's very much of a centrist. There are other Republicans like in Kansas and Missouri and Wisconsin and so on who feel that the civil rights movement is something they champion. Some of them were in the civil rights movement. So how can they be for somebody like Moore? And the notion that Breitbart and the racists have taken over their party is more than they can stomach. So there could be a fissure in the Republican Party, a deep fissure, with the Breitbart wing going off. I don't know what they'll call themselves, but they'll call themselves something, and they can help kill the old Republican Party. I suspect, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, that the Breitbart team are going to run a candidate against the seated Republican in the preliminary races that have to be run before the real race. It doesn't matter whether this candidate wins or loses. It scares the crap out of the Republican Party. And these guys have one of the richest men in the world supporting them. So they'll go in, like the National Rifle Association does, target those people in close races, knock out the candidate, put in some dingbat. And if that dingbat is like a Moore, then the Democrats win the seat. So they think they won by getting the Democrat in. Now, unfortunately, if the Democrats win enough seats and they win the Senate, then you can kiss Trump's presidency goodbye.
Mm.
Let's take this one step farther. The tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for a Republican who wants something in that bill not to get it right now.
Mm.
Because if Doug Jones comes, all of a sudden you're within one vote. It's a two-vote majority, but there are two people, McCaskill and McCain, who are likely to vote no. So you bring Doug Jones in on another vote. There's three votes. Done.
Mm.
The vice president doesn't get to break the tie. That means that bill is dead until the next Congress, next year.
Mm.
And he won't have the votes then.
In fact, Republicans, as I understand, are actually trying to force the bill through before Doug Jones is in the Senate so they can actually get this one through on the strength of what they have. My understanding is the Republicans have actually got reaching a compromise between the House and the Senate on this particular tax bill. They're getting awfully close to delivering some pretty major tax cuts. What is the latest?
Well, the latest, as I understand it, is there are a couple of things. Most of the big stuff has been settled on, and that is the stuff about the amount of the tax cut and what the rich people will get. But the biggest issue is the corporation. 20% tax rate for corporations, down from 30-some percent. That is a race to the bottom. That means Ireland can't get that low. So there's going to be a lot of money, like Google and this kind of money, and fast money, that says the United States is just as safe a haven as going to the Caribbean. That's what this is all about. Now, will that create any more jobs in the United States? Maybe for people who count money. But you don't manufacture anything with money. And if that money was going to manufacture something, they would have opened plants in those countries, and they didn't.
Mm.
So I think this is a big hit on the Treasury for the United States. It's a giveaway to the rich. At some point, people are going to see that. Trump will be long gone. But once you get tax cuts in like that, it's hard to undo them. But I think some form of this will go through.
Mm.
And what you're trying to do is, one, save Obamacare, save food stamps for the poor people, and health for children, and a couple of other special provisions for low-income individuals, as well as giving some deductions for middle-class people for the interest payments on their homes. So the Republicans who are against the bill are going to try to get those things in. That almost makes Donald Trump throw up, but he's going to have to take it.
Just wanted to look at New York for a moment. Here in Sydney, it's actually the third anniversary of the Martin Place siege, the so-called Martin Place siege, which was a fairly dramatic lone wolf terror attack here in Sydney. Now, in New York, this guy didn't manage to kill anyone. But in terms of the larger picture on, the fears around terrorism, what's the impact?
Well, remember, we had three of those in London and England, one in Manchester, two in London. That's the new MO. As ISIS really unravels and has no physical territory anymore in the Middle East, the new cry will be to turn in their locals into warriors. And the way you fight that is not just having people on the ground. The way you fight that is making sure they can't grow any more people. So it's going to take a very different kind of tactic. Here in this country, we're still trying to knock it down rather than getting kids in the West who don't have jobs, and the unemployment rate is over 50%. My grandpa used to say he never knew a criminal that had a mortgage.
Mm.
So we got to get these people working and feeling that they have a chance in America and elsewhere. And that's what it's all about. It's not about political parties. It won't matter where Democrats or Republicans are in. But if you keep doing things like this terrorism issue, then you're sparking far more violence. And Trump wants that because he thinks people say, well, we can't take him out now while there's so much violence here He's the one that's brought it on with the ban and with the Jerusalem issue.
And talking about getting Trump out, updates on the Russia investigation. Lots of fear, lots of hope in Washington on different sides of the aisle right now that Mueller is reaching his target, as in Donald Trump. But attempts to discredit Mueller are really going into overdrive as well. What's the latest?
Well, let's start with the attempts to get rid of Mueller. They're becoming very, very serious now, particularly in the House. But the House doesn't have the power the Senate does. And the Senate's pretty clear they're not going to do that. But they're trying to discredit what comes out of the Mueller investigations by saying there are a couple of FBI, rogue FBI agents and the like who may have done some things that cast a doubt on the evidence. Let that come out in trial. That's what judges do. They say this evidence is good or it's tainted. So the response to this, I think, at some point, and we're very close to that, is with 400,000 pages of evidence, show us the bad evidence here, and we'll just take it out. And if one of those investigators touched it, we'll just take it out. We still have 399,000 pages of evidence. evidence usually wins the day. Most of the public, 65% of the Americans support Mueller and his investigation. So they just want to know what the facts are, and they think he's a stand-up guy, and there's no evidence in it. And the new FBI director is firmly behind Mueller. So we're going to have some more distractions. Let's hope we'll get through the holidays. I'm still very worried about North Korea. They're in a deep corner. The Chinese now say they cannot control them. That is a very tough sign. And when you got two little rocket men, one of them set off the other thing. So let's hope we have a better new year. But in the new year, Mr. Mueller will be riding the white horse. And this is already in the Oval Office. There's young Trump is in deep trouble. You don't have to lie to the Congress. You just have to mislead it. He has done that. Jared, not only has he lied, he's perjured himself. He's been given false witness before the Congress and to the FBI. And he still has some things that he hasn't disclosed, like sitting on some boards that have given money to the people who are building the settlements in Israel. I'd say Jared is cooked. Ivanka is already moving back to New York. I would say this presidency is there on a thread. And that, you know, when you're there on a thread, people don't believe you anymore. So he can shout, he can jump up and down, and I don't think anyone in the administration is going to pay any attention to him. That's the good thing. The bad thing is, if he goes, we have Mike Pence.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.